Always keep it open. But this is my song. If y'all stand, my God is so real to me. He healed my body when I was sick. 23 blockages, 4 bypass. I'm an overcomer. So are you. Amen. G. We're going to key of G. There are some things I may not know. There are some places that I can go, but I am sure of this one thing. Got them in your soul. Got them in your heart this evening. Let's change over the services. Brother Dale comes. He is Brother Dale. I didn't get that wrong. Man, are we blessed. Give God. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength and help us cope in this world where every roam. The word of God will guide us home.
Faithful words of Christ, holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God, sing it to him. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, God bless you. Good to see you this evening. good to be alive and well. God bless you. Good to have the Valencias back. And Evangelist Valencia will be speaking for us Wednesday. So he has a new title now. He's an evangelist. Wonderful that we could go help, and we sure do appreciate all these brothers going and helping and helping Brother Tim, and I'm sure I know he appreciates it, because you know a shepherd, you know, he's the only love he's got is for his sheep, and when he can't speak to his sheep, it troubles your heart. So it was troubling in his heart, and that's when God laid on my heart. We'll just send some of our people up there, and speak for them. So I know they did a good job. Good brother Tim called me and said they did really well. So we sure do appreciate that. Remember Sunday, one service, and then we'll eat here, and then we'll go and do some more. What we're going to do this coming Sunday is we'll get the targets with the numbers on them, and we'll just be shooting long rifles. We won't be shooting any handguns. And so we'll have a little friendly competition, set them up about 30 or 40 yards, and then we will see who can hit closest to the bullseye. So that way it'll be a little faster. Only two signed up last Sunday and 20-something came, so I don't know what we're going to do this weekend. So somebody said back in the back, said, well, maybe just two's going to show up this time. So I don't know, but we'll see. But we sure had a good time. The ones that were there, we had a good time. So we sure appreciate the Lord letting us do that and keeping us safe. Also remember that Easter will be not this coming Sunday, but the next. And then April the 19th, we'll have two services. And I am still praying about going to the funeral of Brother Brady. I would love to go. He was a man that really helped us get into Jamaica. Dad in 1995. And then Dad went like 11 times, and I've been 12 times. So we kind of pretty much have a heart for Brother Brady. He was uh, he was one. He was called out, and if you don't know it, he was called out in On the Wings of a Snow White. No, What Is the Attraction on the Mountain? When he said, "Mr. Brady, your wife's foot's got foot problem over in Jamaica." Well, she wasn't there. She was still in Jamaica, and God healed Sister Brady there while Brother Branham was in the meeting. So that's why we call him the Black Eagle. Yeah, and he's always been Brother Brady. So we just keep praying that we get to go. I went to the cardiologist yesterday, and I do have a heart. Man, see there? So you can't say I'm heartless no more. Okay? Yeah, wow. So anyway, now they put me on different blood pressure medicine. They want me to watch my salt intake. I said, I do. Every potato chip I get, I look at it before I eat it. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's what I thought. If it wasn't for potato chips and potatoes, I might be skinny. But I just love potatoes. Mom can vouch for this. We used to raise them at home, and I'd eat them raw. Yes, sir, I'd eat them things. I'd cut them up like an apple and eat them raw. Well, praise the Lord. Maybe that's why my heart's in condition is in now, but my heart is not in a bad condition. Both tests said they're perfect, and they are, it's just y'all that's what's doing it. So, first seal, part 10, Revelation 6, and we'll, no, I love you. I would not be anywhere else tonight, but right here. Because I saw something today that I want to really get to us, maybe later on, that it will help you. But just think, while we're speaking, it's going to be pretty much what we covered Sunday, but add a little extra to it. Just remember that there's three stages of grace, right? Then the fourth stage is the Word being made manifest in our life, all right, what we live. Now, if you go and look at the Holy of Holies, the outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies. Now, remember, only one priest could go in the Holy of Holies, one person. Had to be dressed right, acted right. He had to know everything, do everything exactly right, because it meant death if he didn't. But now, remember, he didn't stay in there. Now, that was a type of the Holy Ghost, justification, outer court, inner court, sanctification. Holy of Holies was where God met him. But remember, that priest had to come out of that Holy of Holies and live that life. He didn't stay in there. Oh, it would have been nice. No, he did what he's supposed to do. He comes back out through those courts and starts all over again and gets ready for the next time he gets to go into Holy of Holies. He's getting ready to go into it. So it's not that we enter once into the Holy of Holies for our soul. But we still got a life we got to live. All right, and we'll read some quotes about that, but just pray for us, and just remember, he didn't stay in the Holy of Holies. He come out and lived. And he's the only one that saw that, and you're the only one that, your experience, he went in, he saw what he saw in the inner court, or in the Holy of Holies. That's what you got to see, but you got to bring it back out and live it. You got to come back out and go through justification again, because justification is where the sacrifices were. There was no sacrifices in the second or third court. First court only. All right, everybody with me? All right, so let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this evening you give us. We appreciate each and every one, Lord. Thank you for the ones watching in, the Ohio group and different ones, Lord. We pray for them, Lord, that you would keep them safe and bind them together, Lord. We'll see them maybe in a month or so, and we sure do look forward to it. They're just children of mine. I consider them that. Ones that we've nurtured, Lord, for years in the gospel, and we sure do appreciate them. And they've nurtured us, too. They've really, really, really grown. And we appreciate that. Father, we pray that you'd be with the group here, Father, that has grown, that are doing the things they should do, Father, and Lord, doing away with that iniquity, where the things we should not do, we're not doing them. And the things we're supposed to do that the Bible tells us to do, that we're clothing right, we're acting right, we're talking right, we're coming to church, we're reading our Bible, we're praying, we're doing the things of the Lord, that will take iniquity completely out of the picture. Father, just be with us now in the furtherment of the service. Be the ones that are sick. We've had several ones requesting prayer, Father. I pray that you'd be with each one. Touch their body, Lord. Tonight, Lord, I pray that you touch us, that you would be with each one here, Father. May the word flow freely and may it be received freely. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 6, verse 1, I saw when the Lamb had opened one of the seals, heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him. All right? And he went forth conquering and to conquer. You may be seated, and the Lord has blessing to the reading of the word. And we know from what we were talking about Wednesday night, or Sunday, that in 1 John, he's telling us that it is a spirit of Antichrist that's come into the church. It's a spirit that starts first. But what does it do? It anoints a person. And then as it anoints that person becomes that doctrine. Right. See, you and I have to become a doctrine. Brother Brown said a church without a doctrine is not a church. Right. So we have a doctrine. It's the doctrine of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. That's what the Bible tells us, right? But now remember, we began at the cornerstone, but we're headed to the headstone because the headstone is coming back in power to the church. I believe that. I believe it's already beginning. I believe that the seals are opening to who wants it open to and not to who's not. Sorry, just the way it is. But we're going to try our best. We all the ministers here, we're going to try our best to bring everybody up that mountain and get them to the top of that mountain and then let God, just for a moment, put you on display. Because that's what the prophet of God told us. He said, that church will be put on, she'll be put on display, the bride will, for just a moment. And I believe that's when the world can't bother us. I believe that's when we'll come to a place that we'll be able to, we call it speaking condition. Well, the speaking condition comes when there's no, you know, when we have iniquity or we have things in our life, it hinders our walk if we dwell on it so much. Well, pray for me. Okay? But we've got to get to where that thing is going to be honed off so much that it becomes a faint thought. And that Satan, if he brings it up, he's a liar. If he brings it up, put it back on him, because you know what? Every sin that was committed will be on top of his head. So praise the Lord for that. We'll just give it back to him. And he may try, but when you put the word first, the word has to be back in power. The word has to be back in power. I was looking at reading the history of Constantine and looking at how he manipulated his political power to gain the power to make popes and bishops and priests and put all the money into the... He found out where they thought where Jesus was born, and he made this great big cathedral. And then he made this great big cathedral where Peter was at, St. Peter's Basilica. So he started putting all these big monuments up, thinking that once you put these big monuments up, he's going to get something out of it. Well, I mean, and then he got turned down several times by certain people. There was a couple of factions that were working during that time, and he finally, it's kind of ironic, but after Paul and Peter were put to death in Rome, everybody with me? By Nero, Constantine comes up and says, okay, we're not going to crucify Christians anymore. We're going to leave them alone for a little while. Well, I think the reason he left them alone was he wanted to be one of them. He wanted to gain the political power through those people that were Christians. And then the prophet of God tells us that the bride went to Nicaea as bishops and preachers and all these different things from the faith of the fathers coming into Nicaea at 325 AD, and then they fought it out and then come away with a Trinitarian doctrine. So it looks like Satan won, but he didn't. He's just fulfilling the scripture that a corn of wheat had to go in the ground and die. During the Dark Ages, they died, 68 million of them, by the hands of people like Constantine. Right. And the people like Maximus and different ones that 106 AD, 106 OAD to about 1500 AD was the Dark Ages. And they put 68 million Christians to death because they did not comply with the Catholic Church. Right. All right? And the Catholic Church had already set doctrine. They have the Apostles' Creed, or the Apostles' Creed, they have the Nicene Creed, they got all these creeds set up, and if you didn't say those things and say Hail Mary And even at that time, back at that early, they were worshiping Mary as the mother of God. So Constantine was using that, though, to get power, and he got land and he got buildings, and you see how the devil does. The devil goes into it with maybe a religious attitude, but all he wants is money and power. That's all he wants, money and power. That's all the devil wants, because he can't get to your soul once you're born again, but he can do a lot of other things to really mess your life up if you'll let him. And that's what happened during the Dark Ages. See, Brother Branham said, had just a little bit of light. Why? They had just a little bit of power. Because if you said you were a Christian, you died. Period. You were in the Colosseums, and they fed you to the lions and used you for sport, and you died. 68 million. That's a lot of people that Rome agrees they put to death. Went to war with the people. Why? Because that spirit of Antichrist had already come in. And by that time, as we'll look at it later on in the history, we'll look at the history of that, they had already crowned a pope. See, now they thought Peter was a pope. Remember, Peter's the first pope. That's what they say. All right, and Linus, or I think his name's Linus, was the second pope. Well, Peter was the pope. Peter never was in Rome, except maybe when they crucified him upside down. All right? So a lot of their history is false. It's made up stuff. Brother Brown said they took down Paul and put up, Mercury, and then they took one down and put up Zeus, and they took down the girl and put up Mary. So all they'd done was just put... It was the devil working in the realms of religion, but you could tell the difference in that day. Now it's come down to a point where you can't tell the difference now. He's sitting in message churches now. But he's the adversary of the Messiah. So that is what the Antichrist is, because against Christ. You're against the very Holy Ghost that's inside of you. If you're you can't be Antichrist in your soul if you're born again. But you can have an Antichrist idea. Come on, that's the part that I talked about it last Sunday. In your spirit realm, you can have a lot of things going on and commit suicide and different things and be born again in your soul, because the devil gets a hold of your spirit realm and causes you to do things. So let's just listen. We're in a point in time now to where he's on the rampage. He's wanting to do that. He's wanting to divide and conquer. Right. All right. That's why when the Pope gets off of the plane, he's not saying peace. No, that's not his symbol of peace. This is divide and conquer. He has come to conquer your country or your territory or wherever he lands at. And then wherever he lands, they got to kiss his toes, so they do obedience to him, or kiss his ring. They got to do obedience to him, so he's got them. So if anybody, Trump or anybody else or anybody goes over there and pays obedience, they've got him. And it's all in Christianity. It's all in the Christian realm. So that's why these seals have to be broke. As Brother Branham was in the last third of his ministry, he come to a place to where he knew he hated that thing, but he really didn't know how. But now he knows how. Because that thing was sitting in the same church with him. Amen? The denominations, his crowd was mostly denominations. There wasn't any interfaith people, and there wasn't any message believers back then. It was people out in denominations. He was trying to come out of her, my people. He was trying to gather them all back in and bring them into the what? To the truth of the day. Now, they might have had truth, because you had a lot of Pentecostal people that had truth that were in that lap over between the Pentecostal age of speaking in tongues and all this, and then lapped over into Brother Branham's message. All right? Some of them, when he died, went back. Some carried on. But that was the overlap that Brother Branham was preaching in, that he was preaching to the people that, as he said on the questions and answers of the seals, he said, you're not getting this. This is not for you. See, the Son of God revelation was for them. Come on. Under the man anointing, Brother Branham was preaching the intelligence of God to the people to get them born again, to get them out of denominations, to get them out of these doctrines, tying up loose ends, getting people to believe that Father, Son, Holy Ghost was the same person, and that that was not the form of baptism, it was the name of Lord Jesus Christ. He was. That's what he was gathering together. But remember, as I told you several times and read it, Brother Branham said that wasn't his message. That was not his message. That was to restore them back to the faith of Pentecost that was AD 30. Back to that. Because from AD 30 till when he came on the scene, well, there's all kinds of denominations. There's all kinds of truth, so-called. So Brother Branham has to come, and as Elijah did on Mount Carmel, if you'll remember, when Elijah on Mount Carmel, he comes up to Mount Carmel, and he says, hey, call on you God. Call on him, and we'll, you know, and then remember he mocked him. He said, well, he must be on vacation, you know, call a little louder. And those 400 prophets bounced up and down on that altar of stone so much till they tore it completely down. So what's the first thing that Elijah did? He built the tabernacle back. He built the worship back. He built everything back and said, now if God be God, let him come. Well, that's what Brother Branham would do. He would stand in the prayer line. He'd preach a sermon. He'd stand in the prayer line. He said, if God be God, let him meet me here. If I preach you the truth today, let him come on the scene. Now, God didn't have to if he wasn't preaching the truth. God cannot honor false doctrine. And he won't. He hates that Nicolaitan spirit. All right? So Brother Brown tells us the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church, defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. And I said before, not just sitting and not, you know, sitting with our arms crossed and, you know, willy-nilly and whatever. No, it's powerless. Is you can preach the gospel of false doctrine, and people, they're doing it all the time. They're filling stadiums up. Joel Osteen, 10,000 members. How do you keep up with all that? You let him preach some hair and dress and some Holy Ghost and some righteous living, he might have 10 out of them 10,000. So I'd rather, like Brother Ram said, I'd rather preach to two or three and preach them the truth than to have to preach something to make the people feel good. That's not my job. That's not my job. My job is to preach the word, and like I was talking to somebody a few days ago, break a leg does not feel good. I've never had a broke bone in my body, but some of y'all have. But you know, Jesus broke the leg of the sheep. Brother Eric, he's had to do me that. Like, if I had six legs, they'd all six be broke. Right? But he'll get your attention one way or another. But you know what? That person was always a sheep. He didn't break the goat's leg and it turned into a sheep. He broke the sheep's leg because the sheep kept getting out into another pasture. The sheep kept jumping the fence. Amen? So it wasn't the goat. It was a sheep to begin with. We as sheep, we have to stay in line. That's from here back. So what exposes Satan? The true church will. So that's what we're trying to find now, the true church. You say, well, brother, wait, this is a true church. You got to figure that out for yourself. And I'm not talking about the building. I'm not talking about spoken word church. I'm talking about the bride. If you're a bride, you're not in the message. You are the message. Amen. Satan's in the message, but he can't be the message. You are the message. You are that thundering voice that's going to thunder out in this age, that you're going to hold yourself, sisters, brothers, all of us, we're going to hold ourselves to the line of modesty and decency and working these virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, working on that. Because you and I both, even though we've been in the Holy of Holies, we had to come out too. We had to come out and walk right back through that again. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, two spirits, Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, which that must mean, Sister Trudy, one of them was Antichrist. Is that what it says? If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, well, there's only two, Christ and Antichrist, Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Why? He used the word of God. He wasn't just the word of God. He used the word of God.
Right.
And if you and I are born again today, we're standing as Christ did. Because where is he? He's in me and you with the same character that he met Satan with. Now, we know individually we're not. You get that out of your head. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. We're not Jesus Christ himself. But we are him made manifest in another form called the bride. And when he spoke the word, we need to speak the word. You know what we try to do? We try to figure everything out. We try to paint a picture and move the Bible and, you know, move the picture, you know. No. Just say, devil, it says right here, do not tempt me. You shall not tempt the Lord thy God. But where is the Lord thy God? It's inside of you. That's too simple. That's just too simple for people to take. They want something. See, there's that old Jewish thing. I gotta have a festival. I gotta have a horn or you know, some kind of fireworks. Not the Gentile way, my folks. That's not the Gentile way. We take it by faith and faith alone. That's why he put away Israel, because they put so much on signs and wonders till they went whoring after other idols, and God put them away because he was looking for a sinless, virtuous Gentile bride. That's what he wanted to begin with. He gave Israel a chance and they blew it. Let's don't blow it here. Something's got to take us from this side to the other side. And I believe we have it. I believe we're in the right vehicle with the right ticket on the right road. Amen? I believe I'll clap myself. Now, does the world see that? Go talk to people. Just go talk to somebody. Say, hey, what do you think about this going on in Israel? Well, yeah, we heard it. That's the end time, and it's supposed to do this and this. And you listen to them, and you're like, well, that ain't exactly the way it's going to happen. Okay? We know exactly the way it's going to happen. All we're doing is watching the news that was already on our TV 50, 60 years ago, where the prophet clearly told us what was going to happen. Now you see Putin, he's looking down, he's looking toward the oil. So, his Brother Brown said, "Sirs, is this the time?" He said, "It's later than we think." So now, going back to the seal. Now the seal, we talked the seal, there's only one seal, and that's the Holy Ghost. All right? Whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. All right? And it's the only reveal of the word. So you got to have the Holy Ghost before the word can be revealed to you. Now listen, you can be a justification. Listen, God knows our heart. God knows our heart. God knows our heart tonight. He knows our heart tomorrow night. He knows what you're desiring, either to just sit here or to let God reveal himself to you through the word of God. Forget the vessel. I wish we preached behind a curtain. Because most of y'all would know my voice anyway. But I've had people call me 20 years, I hadn't talked to them in 20 years. They say, hey, Wade, I guess my voice is just a little different than everybody else's. That's all right. But if the Holy Ghost is the only reveal of the word, then you should never, ever quit seeking the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Even the refilling, even the part where you, God, I need you to come and show me these things. If you're the revealer, I need it revealed, come and reveal it to me.
Amen.
All right. If we don't, then listen, every crack we have, Satan is going to fill it.
Right.
We're the adversary, Brother George. He's not. I wish he'd be away from us. But he's not. He's right there with us. But it's me and Brother Anderson, we're talking. You know, the old saying, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. He's going to be closer. He's going to be right there. But he hates revelation, and he hates the Holy Ghost. He hates everything that's of God. So if you're of God, he hates you. So only a revelation is what breaks the seal. Brother Branham came to a place to where I believe he had come to a manifestation of the sons of God, and he had been promoted, I guess you may say, when he went to the backside of the desert and was caught up in the constellation and was brought to a place to where God said, if you're going to get anything, you're going to get it from this guy right here. I believe that. Okay? So the revelation he had is what broke the seal. Because remember, the seals were broke in 1963, but it wasn't broke to everybody. That group that was sitting there that he said, it's not for you, the book was still closed. They didn't understand what the difference in the Son of Man doctrine or the Son of Man revelation and the Son of God revelation. They just knew that, and surely they knew they were born again. There was many of them that, listen, as I said before, there's going to be untold hundreds of millions of people that are bride from day of Pentecost to Pentecost, right before Brother Branham came on the scene. There's going to be millions of people never heard of William Branham. Never heard of the opening of the seals. Never heard of marriage and divorce. Never heard of restoration of the bride tree. Never heard these things. But you have. So more has been given, more is required. The seal was open, as Brother Brown said in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. I love that quote because he said, let me paraphrase. He said, I'm going to open up the back part of God's mind, and I'm going to take you there. Remember the quote is, Brother Brown says, today we're going to go back in the back part of God's mind and see what his plan was. Well, now, he didn't go back in there and come out and seal it back up. No, God's trying to tell you something. He wants you to be there too. He wants you to get in the back part of the thinking part, the revelation part. That's where you came from. If you're born again today, you came from right there. So the Holy Spirit has got something sealed from Daniel to now. What? The way to get a body change. Now remember, we're not the first ones ever had that done. Everybody with me? There's a guy named Abraham. There's a girl named Sarah. They took a body change. Let's don't forget the three Hebrew children. They had to have a body change. They came out of a fiery furnace that killed the people that throwed in there. Come on, somebody. And they came out and didn't even smell like smoke. Yeah, they got a body change. Even their clothes got changed. Amen? Enoch. Bind him. Can't. Why? He must have took a body change. Jesus took a body change. There's different ones. This ain't new. But that's impartial. Everything of that is partial. The only person that's really been changed has been Jesus, because when he died, it closed the Old Testament. We're going to see something about that in Easter. I'm going to do an Easter message. But I want y'all to see something. But when he stepped out of that tomb, it was a New Testament. It was a new way of doing things. The old way was done away with. They what? They lived, they died, they went to wherever they went to, but they never came out of the tomb like he did. Now you and I, because of that, we can come out of the tomb just like he did if we have to go in the tomb. But he said, I'm going to tell you something else. Through my prophet Paul, I'm going to tell you, there's a group that's called we. We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. But the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's why people look at me weird in the message. I'm not looking for a rapture. Rapture is the event that's going to happen after there's a resurrection. The Bible tells us, we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them. Right. Listen, the Son of Man message is not a rapture message. Amen. Don't be turning your head over there in Ohio. It's not. It's a resurrection message. Amen. The Son of Man's message is that's why Brother Brown said this is the Son of Man ministry. Why? We were resurrected out of dead denominations, but look at all the people he raised from the dead. Or he didn't, but God did. through his ministry. The Son of Man is a resurrection message. Because of that, we'll take a rapture. Because of that, this world won't hold us. We'll have something in our atoms like Jesus had in his atoms. A-T-O-M-S. Amen? He was changed in his very atoms. Those atoms that were laying there, Brother Bram said he laid there dead, cold in a grave. The body. He went to hell and preached to the souls in prison. Comes back up through paradise, picks them up. We'll talk about that next week. No, the next week after next. And when he picks them up, when he goes, that body's laying there stiff, cold. Now, it hadn't corrupted yet, but it was getting close. Because he was going to raise on one scripture, Brother Brown said, of a backslid prophet. David said, I'll not leave my soul in hell or have my Holy One see corruption. So that morning, something happened. Something happened. And every cell in that man's body came to life at the same time. He had no life in it at all. We went to a funeral the other day. You've been to funerals before. People don't hardly look the same because all the life's gone. It's like the life's been sucked out of them. And they're, you understand what I'm saying? We've seen people in caskets before. But that's because there's no light. There's no light in them. There's no life. The cells are not firing. Why are you 98.6 degrees? Because you got a soul. Your body's not doing that. Come on, somebody. You'll see something next couple weeks. Your body's not doing that. Your soul's what's doing it. Because when you die, your soul leaves your body. You die. This thing gets cold. It stiffens up. Some of us already started stiffening up a little bit. But you'll see what happened on resurrection morning to that body that Jesus had. And you got to remember, he looked like hamburger meat when he went in, Brother Brown said. Crown of thorns, stripped naked, had meat tore off his back. The only thing he's got left is the nail prints in his hands. So you'll see, we'll know he's the one that did it. He'll be scarred for an eternity, so you and I won't have a scar. Everybody that's had an operation, all these different things, don't worry about that. He's the best cosmetic surgeon you'll ever have in your life. The best. He'll put it all back with no stitches. Now, let me get off of that. We'll get on to that in a couple weeks. But now, remember, we're still under the lion anointing, which is the first three ages. Now, we'll get to that in just a little bit. I want to show you something. So let's read. We don't have to read that. So now we're looking at a church. I was reading the history of the first church, the faith of the fathers, the Alpha Bride. They had signs and wonders. They preached the word of God. They went out. They went all over the world and preached the gospel. And signs and wonders followed them. And the people at Antioch acted so much like Christ till they called them Christians. And that's why we're called Christians today, or so-called Christians, because they were Christ-like. They acted so much like Christ till the people said, man, they must have been around this guy. So that was a white righteous church that was walking the earth, that had the potential and had all these virtues working in their life, but they did not have the headstone message. They only had the message of the Son of God, which was a body that had the Holy Ghost in it, all right? Now, that's what you are now. Plus, we're heading to something. Everybody with me? They had the sword of the word. They weren't bluffing. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give unto thee. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what Paul, you know what John was saying? Peter was saying? He said, dude, I ain't even got no money to get you a doctor's visit. Right. Silver and gold have I none. He didn't say some. Look here, see, look. Yeah, me too. But he knew he had something that they needed that didn't cost a dime.
Right.
Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give unto thee to rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you know what? It happened.
Right.
Yep. We ought to be that way sometime.
Right.
Have you ever got to a place in a strait where you didn't have any money or you couldn't help somebody? You just start praying. Say, God, you did it back in the Alpha Bride. Here we are, the Omega Bride. We're supposed to be the reflection of each other.
Right.
Silver and gold have I none. But child, I give you Jesus Christ.
Right.
And they did have white robes because they were born again. All right? And they brought souls into the kingdom of God. They were absolutely making the devil mad because they had power behind what they were saying. So that's why I'm telling you, the devil didn't turn off to the right and Christianity turned to the left. No. Wherever Christianity went, there he was. And he came up to a white righteous church with power. Read the history. Just go to, I know people hate Wikipedia, but just look at the two factions. One was Aramis and... I'll bring it next week. Aramis and some, but they had two doctrines.
Right.
And they fought.
Right.
They fought each other. But one of them wielded more power than the other one because they had political power.
Right.
Or they had more money. So that was the influence of that age was, if you had the most money, you had the most power. If you had the most land. But see, that came from that Antichrist spirit. The spirit that was on the people.
Right.
Not just one person. The spirit of Antichrist was working amongst the people. A man named Cerinthius.
Yep.
He was in the time of Irenaeus. And Irenaeus found out that Cerinthius was in the same bathhouse he was in.
Right.
History tells us that Irenaeus ran out of the bathhouse and said, I'll not be in the same building with that guy. Because he taught that Jesus was a like substance of God, not the very substance of God.
Right.
Which is Trinitarianism.
Right.
But that was way back in Irenaeus' time. That was before 325 A.D. That was before they formulated all these creeds. That was just a saying.
Right.
A man had a saying, but he was so influential, though, he's in the history books. If you dig through history, it's not going to be in the history books of school. But his name's Cerinthius. And him and Irenaeus were they're bumping heads all the time. But it was a spirit. And it got on a bunch of people and caused them to ride through message churches of the day. All right? But if the people would have really watched and pay and had the Holy Ghost like we do today.
Right. Yep.
That's the same one, but we have a Holy Ghost plus the Word
right.
to back it up. They didn't have it back then. They barely even had a Bible. It was coming up in this age. But they had a bow and no arrows. They had a false doctrine that they had a pretense, hold the bow up, pretense, I got it. Well, if it had looked, it'd have been no arrows. And a crown had to be given to them. Authority had to be given to them to believe a lie.
Right.
To believe a lie. You know the old saying? Truth's kind of sometimes hard to believe. But he gave them authority to believe a lie because he knew they would anyway.
Right.
And they went out conquering. They conquered the first three church ages. By the time the third church age was ended, by the time the third church age was ended, they were heading into the dark ages. The last that third church age ended it right at 600 and something A.D.
Right.
All right, so that's when the second Nicene Council come. We'll look at it in a little bit. The second Nicene Council come, and then they stamped it that this is it. Trinitarian doctrine, hell's eternal, saints, you intercede with saints. Mary's a mother of God. You pray to her. She ascended just like Jesus did. You've heard that before? That's what Catholics believe, that Mary got come out of a tomb just like he did. And you can pray to her because she's the mother of God. Oh, yeah. So in the first age, they had started leaving their first love. And he told them, listen, this is how simple it is. Repent. Repent. Repent means to what? If you're going in this direction, repent means to you to go that way. Somebody was preaching one time and said, you got to do a 360. Well, if you do, you're going back in the same direction you did. You got to do a 180. And that man was me. I'll admit my mistakes. I was corrected quickly by someone, probably my dad, that if you do 360, you're going back in the same direction. So, and that's what repent is what? Turning, going another direction. All right? Didn't you repent of your things that you did? If you truly, really repented of your sins, you went in this direction. You didn't go back that way. Or else I'll come with thee quickly. I'll remove thy candlestick. I'm going to actually take your message away from you. I'm going to take the Holy Ghost out of your whole age if you continue to do this. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. In other words, there was a group of people that stood against that. Which I also hate. He said, but he's not finished with them. But I have a few things against thee, because what? They still hung on to the doctrine of Balaam. They still hung on to that old thing that church and state comes together and we can all be one. And that's what he did with Israel, right? And what Balaam did, he couldn't curse them, but he got the girls to marry the boys. And the boys to marry the girls, often of another country. And what did that do? They started sacrificing to idols and committing fornication. So what did God do? He put them away. All right? So in the third age, which is the last age of the first seal encompasses, we'll look at it Sunday. We'll have to do it now, unless you can find it. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Now, we've come now to 600 A.D. From 325 to 600 A.D., it has become a law. It's become a doctrine that you go into the church and that's what you're preaching about. Repent or else I will come unto thee quickly and fight against. Now, who wants to fight against God? And will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. In other words, the word. So now iniquity, one more time. Iniquity is a hideous sin. It's something you're sitting and you know you shouldn't do and you do it anyway. Or you know you're not supposed to do it anyway, or you know you're supposed to do it. See, that's the same thing. Much is given, much is required. That's why iniquity is going to abound in this age. Because listen, we are the most revelated people. We have everything we need at our fingertips. Where, when we first had this church, there was a wall right there. Seats were here, and that whole wall, there wasn't a door, the door was right here. That whole wall all the way around from top to bottom was rows of those 8-inch reels of Brother Branham's. If you took them home, you needed a bag. If you wanted to listen to more than three, you had to get some help. Come on. Now, Christ the mystery of God revealed. It'll start playing in your watch. Instantly. This one you had to go get, you had to take home, you had to feed it through the, how many of y'all did that? Nah. The rest of y'all are just, don't know what, you lazy bums. You'd be sitting there listening to a tape and all of a sudden you hear, flop, 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 flop. It had broke. So you had to go get some Scotch tape, tape it back together, make sure you cut the edges off so it wouldn't stick again. And then here you played again, and Dad played them sometimes so much till the thing was, oh Lord, it was big as that, this big, and the belts were just little thin belts, and they get so wore out till they start going wah. Well, Daddy would stick a pencil in it and start turning it. for 2 hours just so we could listen to a prophet tell us what we're supposed to be doing. And that was back in the 70s. But we've come a long way, baby. We have come to where more is given, more is required. We've got more than we've ever had before. And imagine that. Kids, imagine. You couldn't put the, you could, and that wasn't all of them. You could not put all 1,100 sermons on that wall of the 7-inch reels. Now you got it in your phone and you got it in your watch. If you got a smartwatch or an Apple Watch. If you had to find a quote, you had to get the book, number one, or you had to listen to that tape and get to that one spot. Not fall asleep. You'd miss that spot, and you'd have to go back to that spot. And Daddy was smart enough to where he would look down, and it had a counter on it, counter, C-O-U-N-T-R, counter. It counted the revolutions or counted the time, and he'd stop it, and he'd write that down. So if somebody needed to know something, he'd pull it out, run it to that place, and play the tape. All of his books, every book looks like this on the outside, inside, backside. Because he would, when Brother Brown would say something about one God, he'd write one God, page 24. If he said something about this, he'd write it right across here in his hand. I'll bring him and show it to you sometime. He knew all the books by the colors. If he needed a book and it was, you know, Future Home was green. I still remember them. Future Home was green. He'd pull the green one out and there'd be the Future Home. And he'd have everything. Justification. Brother Brown preached on justification, sanctification. Page number 24, paragraph 25. You do that in your search engine in your computer now. They did it by hand. Thank God he sent us a group of people that could do that. That would do that for us. So it's iniquity. That's why it will abound, because we should know better. More is given. More is required. But there's a group of people that will take that challenge. There's a group of people sitting here tonight that will take that challenge. That will look that quote up. That will listen to that tape. That will pause it when you need to pause it. Y'all can even do, Brother Russ Dunker, he lives in Minnesota, and he watches this online, has for years, and we got to meet him one time, and I called him on the phone, and I heard somebody preaching in the background, and I said, who is that? He said, FaceTime me. So I FaceTimed him, and it was me, but he had it on 1.5. So I was preaching just like this. This is the way I preach. I preach like this, because you know what? Those people in Minnesota, that's the way they talk. And he could watch an hour and a half sermon in 45 minutes. Y'all ever do? Didn't know that? Somebody didn't know it the other day. Yeah, you can go over there and put 1.25. You can run a little bit faster. If you talk slow like we do in the South, you can put it on 1.5. And it sounds like you're just actually preaching a normal sermon. But that, he said, I have to do that. He said, you talk too slow. So now, see, you can even listen to a tape faster. God's pulling every feather out of his eagle nest. Mama's pulling every feather out, and all we're going to be standing on thorns, because he wants us to fly out of here. He wants us to get our revelation, get out of the nest, and go fly. And do what? Fly higher than any other bird. I hope we see that. I really do. I hope we see that. That's what we are required to do. That's our requirement. That's our curriculum. To get us out of here. Paul tells us in Thessalonians, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. All right? Now remember, we will not see that. We see the beginnings of it. We see the spirit of it. We see the spirit of Antichrist. But it started back in the first church age. So we'll skip through here, because I want to show you what we were talking about. So now look. So we know who Lucifer was. He was kicked out of heaven because of iniquity. Right? And he's ruler of the spirit world. He dominates five of the seven dimensions.
Right.
We live in three. Four is radio waves. Brother Branham said that's where demons travel in the fourth dimension. He said even cancer resides in the fourth dimension. Fifth dimension is the sinner dead. Sixth dimension is where Brother Dale and all the brothers and sisters that's passed on, they're over there waiting. You sure the devil ain't over there? And he's definitely not in the seventh dimension because that's where God's at. So he was driven out of heaven. He dominates. So his Antichrist spirit, I'm sorry to say this, it's normal. I want you to think about that. The Antichrist spirit is normal to most people. It's the norm of the day. It's the tattooed, ear pierced, nose pierced, eye pierced, lip pierced, pierced. That everything's fine now. You can do whatever you need to. You drink a beer and go to church. That's fine. Just don't drink too much. So the Antichrist spirit is very prevalent in this age. To where Brother Branham said that only just a little bit of light, and he said, I drew it in there. He said the angel drew it completely dark. And I want to tell you something tonight. He drew that because we're sitting here tonight. He drew that because we're born-again believers in this age, in the worst age there's ever been. You're sitting here today. Brother Branham drew that in there prophetically for me and you. Other than that, we'd have no chance. I don't know about you, but I take those things, and I don't take them lightly. I take them to heart. That was me he was writing in there. That little bit of white, that little sliver of light, that was me. That was the Holy Ghost inside of me. And you, shining your light just enough to get us out of here. Remember the five said, we got enough oil for us. We don't have enough for you. You've been dilly-dallying around for all these years in the message. You go find your own oil.
Right.
That seems harsh, but that's the way it's going to be. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, not spiritual wickedness out in the world. In high places.
Right.
So now look, this is where I want to get to. I'll give you a little history. It'll kind of show you how that when Brother Branham was teaching this, when the seal opened, all this that he had taught was coming to his memory. Because he'd already taught the church ages. That's why he had to get the church ages together. He had to get the dates right. He had to get what their spirit was. And he had to get what their anointing was, I'm sorry, the anointing was, and the person that was bringing the spirit of the word to that group. Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, all the different ones, all right? Because in the first seal, a crown was given. He didn't earn it, but he was given a crown. Why was he given a crown? Because remember, the first part of the first seal, he's an Antichrist spirit. You can't crown a spirit. That spirit went among the people. Well, what did the people want? What did Israel want? We need a king. God said, I'm your king. They said, no, we need a king. God gave them one. God gave them what they wanted. But they did not need Saul to be their king. He was their king. So in the Ephesian church age, it was from 53 A.D. to 170 A.D. All right? That's where the Antichrist spirit began, like Cerinthius and different ones, Aramis. Well, don't you think that, wait a minute, Jesus can't be God, he cried. Jesus can't be God, he was hungry. He died. You see all those little thoughts? It's just a little thought that starts this whole thing. Because it was a saying. among the people. That's why, I mean, you know, you can say what you want to. I'm going to say it anyway. When church is split, it's because of those sayings. Because if they stay with the pure doctrine, Brother Brown said, you can't leave a church unless the preacher's off the word. It's not because we sing too long. Not because we sing too short. Not because we sing out of tune. It's not because we're long-winded. It's because we get off the word, you're obligated to go somewhere else. I would. So now the next church age was the Smyrnian church age, 80, 170 to 312. Now remember, the Nicene Council was brought in by Constantine in 325 AD. So now remember, sayings, deeds of the Nicolaitans, and then doctrine. Everybody with me? And remember, spirit, a pope. Yes. Then they could put that crown on top of that pope's head, which is the triple crown. Do you know that? I was looking today. Back then, which was, I mean, I'm talking about 350 or 400 AD, that triple crown with the jewels that was on it at the time is worth $250 million today. That one crown they put on that dude's head. Brother Brown said, you know, remember, he said, I saw the thing. He said, I was just right there. He said, they had it in the glass. They don't wear it anymore. One of the popes in 1960 said, we're not worthy to wear that. We're going to put it up. We're going to put up something worth $250 million. But they did. And that's why Brother Brown could see it. And when he went there in the 60s, he went and looked. And he said, I looked at it. I was this close to it, he said. That's that triple crown. Vicarius filii Dei. Instead of the Son of God. Or 666. We know that. But Constantine the First, from 272, he died in 337, also known as Constantine the Great, or known mononymously as Constantine, was Roman emperor from AD 306 to 337. Now, this is the guy that we've all talked about, so I wanted to kind of let you know how that it became from a spirit to where the hierarchy got involved and said, we need a man. We need somebody to lead us. One person. So from AD 306 to 37, he was the emperor of Rome. And he won it by battles and, you know, all that history stuff. And the first Roman emperor to convert to Christianity. Now, I'll read you something here in a few minutes. Because what he done was, he brought enough Christianity in to make the people happy. Right? But he was still doing it. He was still doing his pagan stuff over here. He put church and state together. He didn't bring a real good religion and a political realm and make a good religion out of it. No, that's where this all becomes crowning now. They're fixing to crown somebody. He played a pivotal role in elevating the status of Christianity in Rome. Remember, Rome was a pagan country. They worshiped Astarte. They worshiped all these different things. They had Easter. Come on. You know 325 AD is when they established when Easter was? Keep reading. You know, you can read all day on this thing, but I don't have all night. So the Edict of Milan decriminalizing Christian practice. That's what I mean. They were putting Christians to death. Now watch, they were putting Christians to death. He stopped it, and then the next age, they put them to death again. Right. Why? Because there had been a hierarchy set up with a man that said, if they don't do what we say, kill them all. Right. That's what happened. Right. Pope, all the different popes coming up. Man, you just read this. You read all day. Just out of history, and listen, with the Holy Ghost, you can put these things together. You know what Brother Brown said about it. You know what we know about it. It doesn't hurt you to read sometime. This was a turning. They decriminalized Christian practice and ceased Christian persecution. This was a turning point in the Christianization of the Roman Empire. Now remember, the Roman Empire never became Christianized. Okay? It turned into Papal Rome, the papacy. Although Constantine lived much of his life as a pagan, he later became a catechumen, as he began to favor Christianity in 312, finally being baptized by Eusebius of Nicodemia. Now, hang on a minute. I'll read you what another historian said about that. I'll find it in a minute. As we continue to go through here, I'll find it. Because what happened was, one of the commentators that didn't like Constantine said he didn't get baptized when he first became a Christian. He waited till the very end. He was baptized right before he died so he could keep his pagan religion with him. I may not have brought it. Although Constantine lived much of his life as a pagan, he later became a catechumen, or catechism. That's where that came from. As he began to favor Christianity in 312, finally being baptized by Eusebius of Nicodemia, an Arian bishop. Now, Arian was one of the two factions of either Trinitarianism or one God. All right? Because remember, the bride, there was bride people. Brother Bram said the bride went to Nicaea. The people that had the true revelation of one God was at Nicaea, but they were overthrown by the people there and their other doctrine, the doctrine of Alexandria, I think his name was. He played an influential role in the proclamation of the Edict of Milan in 313, which legalized Christianity in the Roman Empire. He convoked the First Council of Nicaea in 325, which produced a Christian statement of belief known as the Nicene Creed. Well, the Nicene Creed and the Apostle Creed is pretty much the same thing. We have a Holy Father, and we have a Trinity, and we have a Mary, the Mother of God, and we have all these things, you know. Yeah. So Constantine had sought a unified church after the council. He did not force the Homoousian view of Christ's nature on the council. Constantine did not commission any Bibles at the council. No, he didn't want them to know. Because what does the Catholic Church do? They turn it into Latin, and you have no Bibles. See, Constantine did that. The Pope didn't do it. Constantine did it. Constantine did not commission any Bibles at the council. Despite Constantine's sympathetic interest in the church, now here it is, he was not baptized until 11 or 12 years after the council, putting off baptism as long as he did so as to be absolved from as much sin as possible. I'm going to just have a good time. And the minute I'm getting ready to die, I'm going to listen, because that under that doctrine, it absolved everything he done. Oh, please, let's don't do that. Listen, we know better. We know better. But that's what he did. The major impetus for the calling of the Council of Nicaea arose in a theological dispute among the Christian clergy of Alexandria concerning the nature of Jesus, his origin, and relation to God the Father. Look what they're trying to do. They're bringing in the spirits. The Antichrist spirit has come in, creeping in. All right? They haven't crowned him yet. He's still a spirit. Because remember, it's not threatening until you got a man. It's not threatening to us until you got a headship, a man, that this has to come from. That's when it becomes scary. That's when it becomes, you either do what he says or you're going to die. That wasn't what happened in 325. They were all coming together. Constantine brought them all together to fight out these two doctrines and see which one was right. Then he never cared which one of them was right. Concerning the nature of Jesus, his origin, and relation to God the Father. Scholars propose dates between 318 and 322 for the beginning of the dispute. 325 is when they had the council. The precise origin of the controversies are unclear, but the principal actors were Archbishop Alexander of Alexandria and the presbyter Arius. Arius's teachings are known partially from a few pieces of his writings which survive, but principally from his opponents, primarily Alexander and the Athanasius of Alexandria, Arius criticized Alexander's teaching on Christology. Alexander taught that Jesus was God the Son, was eternally generated from the Father, while Arius and his followers asserted that the Father alone was eternal and the Son was created. Heading toward Trinitarianism. Not there yet, but heading toward it. It's a spirit. Arius accused Alexander of following the teachings of Sibelius, who taught that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were one person. That guy was correct. Who taught that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were one person, rather than the view held throughout the East that they were distinct. Alexander called a local council of bishops from Egypt and Libya, which sided with the Spirit. Spirit got involved and started picking sides. Arius refused to subscribe to the council's decision, and he and several followers were excommunicated. Get out of my church. An exile from Alexandria by Alexander. Views on the importance of this creed. Nearly all Christian denominations, including, now watch, Catholic, Orthodox, most Protestant churches now, Lutherans, Anglicans, Methodists, because we were the Methodist church and they did the Apostles' Creed, Congregationalists and Baptists regard the Nicene Creed as a foundation and authoritative statement of faith. That's pretty much all your denominations. Okay? Thus, approximately 98.5% of the world's Christians are Nicene Christians. Praise God for 1.5%. Praise God. God don't work in numbers. He likes low numbers. He does it with one. But that 1.5% made it through. Thus, approximately 98.5% of the world's Christians are Nicene Christians adhering to the Nicene Council's Trinitarian and Christological doctrines. Wow. So now we go to the next church age, which is 312. All right, so 325 to 606. They crowned a man. They made a pope. All right? And all this became the authority of one man. All that we went through, this all the Arimus and Alexander and all the ones that fought back and forth and back and forth, Eusebius and that other guy, it all come down to where one guy said, this is what we're going to do. This is the way we're going to do it. And that was the Antichrist spirit had now been crowned. Okay, I just wanted to give you some history to know that we just said, well, he crowned. That's how he got crowned. Enough people, 98.5% of the people of the world are wrong. Are wrong. That's why that darkness that angel wouldn't put no light in. Don't you think that angel didn't know that? That angel knew that. But Brother Bram said, I've got a people. I've got a people that's going to listen to what I say. I've got a people that may not be for them in 1963. It may not be for them in 75, 76, 77, 83, 93, 2003, 2013. We're kind of slow. Now here we are, 2026. I believe we're getting it. Now look. When Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these guys in the last days with a reprobate mind concerning the truth and shall turn the grace of our God. The grace of God. The greatest thing you'll ever need in your life is grace. And they turn it into lasciviousness or lewd living. Denying the Lord God. Now you see where it's at. Not only Catholics, but Protestants, the whole thing. It's all the whole organized world. That's that white horse rider under the way of a white righteous church, but an antichrist. It's got to look on a horse even just like Christ. It's coming on a horse. Right. All anti, so close, it deceived the very elect. Here he is. He's the antichrist. He started riding in the first church age. Now he rides on down through every age. So that guy doesn't stop. He keeps riding. Every age. Way back in the apostles' time, yes, he was called Nicolaitia there. Then in the next church age, then he became a doctrine in the church. First he was just a saying, then he became a doctrine. Swell, celebrity people, fine dressed, highly educated, polished, didn't want all that carrying on in the church. No, they didn't want all that Holy Ghost stuff. Must be a church. And we all go through the Nicaea Council and so forth at Rome. Then when they come there, they took the church and took paganism, Roman Catholic or paganism, pagan Rome, and a few superstitions and took the Astarte, the Queen of Heaven, and turned her into Mary, the mother, making intercession out of dead people and so forth, and took that round kosher wafer, which is still puts round in there, and called it the body of Christ because it represents the mother of heaven. When a Catholic passes by, he crosses himself because that light burning in there is supposed to be the kosher, which is turned to God by the power of the what? Priest. When it is nothing in the world but just plain paganism. I just don't understand it. Now watch. He says, well, yes, I do. Excuse me. Sure. I understand by the grace of God. Sure. Now notice. Oh, my. How they can do that. And they are given their desire. No, that's true. You don't have to do that. No, sir. If you don't want to do it, you're not forced to do it. If you don't want to tally up to God's way of living and things and worship, you don't have to do it. God don't make nobody do it. But let me tell you something. If your name was placed on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, you'd be so happy to do it, you can't wait for the moment to do it. See, that's where iniquity's done away with right there. You know to do it and you do it. The devil can't answer that. The devil can't answer that. When you do what God says, the devil don't have an answer for that. Praise God. That's it. This is the last one. Come on, musicians. It's only to be revealed in the last day when this actual seal is broken. Broken to who? Not to Christ, but to the church. Notice, oh my, that just makes me tremble. I hope that the church truly understands it. See what I mean? You people, I'm going to call you bride that you'll understand it. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to call you bride that you'll understand. You might look deceived, but you're not. Because it could deceive the very elect if possible, but it's not going to be possible. And we'll stop right here and we'll start. I didn't get to the justification part, but I promise you we'll get to Sunday. Because I want you to see the outer court, inner court, and the Holy of Holies and all the things that go on with that. Because true justification, somebody asks a question, what is baby form justification? Baby form justification is you got your past sins chopped off. All right? Everybody with me? Which would be this bottle in a bunch of mud, and God reaches and gets the bottle that's still muddy, inside and out. Maybe we did this not too long ago. Mom didn't like it because we made a mess. So we won't do it now. And God gets it and picks it up and says, I'm going to use this. Because I know what they're made of, really. God's not looking at the mud on the outside. He's not looking at the mud on the inside. He's looking at the very heart of that person. So he's going to pick them up out of the mud. Justify them. I am just in holding this cup. Then what am I going to do? I'm going to put it under water, and I'm going to wash it by the water of the word. I'm going to wash the outside. Because I got to get the outside clean first. Because if you open it up, you could get all that mud inside. So you go to sanctification. We're going to wash it off. Then we're going to what? Take the unclean spirit out, all the unclean water, pour it out. All right? Then we're going to fill it back up with good water. And then we're going to seal it. Because remember, now watch. Brother Bram says that what is sanctification? It's cleaned and set for service. Not in service. That bottle's not in service yet. I really want to drink what's in that bottle. God really wants to use you, but he's not going to use you until he fills you. You're in a place, you're in a position, you keep moving, don't stop moving. But when he comes and he sees that clean, Unclean spirit then goes out, comes back, seeketh rest, findeth none, and comes back and makes you worse. But if you put that seal on, he can't get out. He's in there for an eternity. That's a simple justification. But then remember, he's got to pick you up out of what? Your spirit realm and start working on them. Because that's not what he worked on the first time. Everybody with me? It's not what he worked on the first time. He was getting you clean enough. Brother Brown said he sanctified you so that you can get along with yourself. He gives you a different spirit. He doesn't put his spirit in yet. He gives you a spirit that you can deal with yourself. And he'll give you a spirit to want to go to church. You want to read your Bible more. You want to do all these things of God. But you still don't have the Holy Ghost yet. But he knows whether you want to continue on. And when you want to continue on, he lets that unclean spirit out, fills it up with his spirit, puts the seal, and he's done. Now he's ready to use you. But now look, like I said before, why would you want the best water in the world sealed up? You got to go another step and start using it again. Cleaned and set aside for service by those virtues. And then there's one more step, and we'll get to that a little bit later. Let's sing a song. God bless you. Sorry it took so long.
Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory.
I just want to take
a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Well, the world was born in darkness, but he gave us a light to see. Well, the whole world's born in darkness, but he gave us a light to see. Well, the whole world is born in darkness, but he gave us a light to see. That's just how he loves you and me. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. This and you run about that, you seem so busy from morning to night. Well, you're working at this and you run about that, you seem so busy from morning to night. Well, you're working at this and you run about that, you seem so busy from morning to night. Comes right down to the Lord, praise him with all of your might. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Well, the train's at the station and I want to go home. I got the children getting ready to leave. Well, the train's at the station, I want to go home. I got the children getting ready to leave. Well, the train's at the station and I wanna go home. I got the children getting ready to leave. Engineers got the whistle, people singing, only believe. Well, I just wanna take a little bit of time and shout glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just wanna take a little bit of time and sing glory, glory, glory. Oh, I just wanna take a little bit of time and shout glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Well, I just wanna take a little bit of time. A little bit of time and shout glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we dismiss this evening. Lord, we thank you for this teaching. We are revisiting the seals, Lord, learning more in each and every service. Things are being revealed because we're sticking by the word and the Holy Ghost falling in and give us revelation. And all the teaching of many years of teaching from Brother Dale has fallen into this hour to where we now have revelation of what was being taught, because God has visited us this hour. And I'm just so thankful to be walking in this message, because this is a life lived. The Word made flesh, the Son of Man this day, can be God to the people because we are the Word. We try to live the Word. And I just appreciate being a part of this family. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name as we're dismissed. Thank you. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout glory.